directed them, and they were able to do it. And every time we do it, it brings confidence. It builds our faith in how we pray. So let's review just one more time the pocket prayer. Father, you're good, and I need help. Some days our prayer doesn't get beyond that. And you know, that's okay. Heal me. Father, forgive me. They need help. Thank you. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. We have dissected that prayer and looked at every intricate part over the last 9 weeks together. And tonight we're closing up by looking at four types of prayer strengths. And I'm really excited about this because one of the things that I've learned is that we all pray a little differently. Have you noticed that? I have a friend, and when she starts to pray, it's all this scripture just tumbles out of her mouth. I feel like the first 5, 10, 15 minutes, it's just all scripture. And she's just praising the Lord because she's so word-oriented. That's how she prays. And I have another friend who sings. She helps to lead worship in her church. And she sings worship all the time. Like you'll hear her if you get to drive in the car with her. She's just kind of humming a worship song because that's how she connects to God. By the end of tonight, I really want you to feel free because we all have different prayer strengths. And the way in which we pray is how we connect to God, right? We're different. Some of us are chatty Cathys. By the way, that was a doll back in the 1900s. You pulled that string. I had one once and the battery got stuck. I was at my grandmother's house. She didn't know how to shut it up. And so she put it like under the couch pillows. And yeah, that was kind of funny. But that's the way some of us are. We could just chat with God about anything at any time. But others of us, we're more comfortable with a little bit of silence. And others of us would sing our prayers and our praise. And others of us are so sensitive. Even when we're driving down the road, we're praying for the homeless person we just passed, or the man standing at the bus stop, or the woman pushing a baby stroller down a major highway, and we're thinking, where is she going? And we're that kind of sensitive. The problem comes sometimes in prayers when we compare ourselves. I will confess to you, when I read stories about like John Wesley, who gets up at 4 a.m. and prays for 3 hours, I feel really inadequate. It was recently brought to my attention that he probably went to bed as soon as the sun went down. So he's sleeping, you know, at 7, 8 o'clock at night. That made me feel a whole lot better. But when we compare ourselves to other people, what we do is we negate or lessen the gift that God has given us. Because we're now seeing the other person as the mirror rather than God. Some of us come up here, and when we pray after our teaching time, and you're so excited, and your enthusiasm, and your voice goes up, and boy, I just feel like standing up and moving with you. And then others come up so quietly. And both of those are okay, and we need all of it in the kingdom. So let's go through some four worship strengths tonight. The first one is worship. You are good. The person who has this strength, your natural bent is to praise God in every situation. You focus on the goodness of God. You don't ignore troubles, but you don't focus on them. In prayer, you're content to simply talk about how good God is. You love worship and you just find yourself singing praises. And there are many, many scriptures that I could have put down. The Bible prayer partner for this could be Daniel. Do you remember in the Old Testament, Daniel was a Hebrew, And he was taken into captivity by the Babylonians. And you know, they didn't have a train in those days or an Uber, or there were no cars. Daniel literally walked from Israel all the way to Babylon. And then he was put into this culture that was so foreign from everything that he knew. But he was one of the great prayer heroes in Scripture. In Daniel chapter 2, we find him disturbed by in the night by a vision. And the text says that Daniel praised the God of heaven and said, "Praise be to the name of God forever and ever. Wisdom and power are his." In the verses that follow, Daniel lists everything that God had done to empower him. Now, some people in that situation would be reminding God about how bad it was. "Lord, do you see how many blisters I have on my feet? Well, I've lost my toenails. That's how much I've walked on them. And God, I don't like their food, and I don't like their attitude, and I don't." And we would be instead asking God for a way out. And Daniel instead praised God for all of his goodness. See, that's what a worshiper does. Sometimes we look at them, if you know a worshiper, their glass is always half full or maybe three quarters full, because they see things through the lens of God. And sometimes we say, "Hello, are you not seeing reality? Hello, Earth to Bonnie. But these people love to worship, and they see the goodness of God in everything. And maybe you're here, and that describes you. The next prayer strength is trust. This goes along with "I need help." Now, your natural bent is to ask God for help. You know it's better to trust God than to be self-reliant. You tend to be transparent about your trials, which then helps others to be transparent about theirs. You're likely to have a mix of humility and confidence. Well, you're humble because you realize you can't do it, but you're confident in what God can do. You'll know when you meet one of these people, because as soon as you share a request, what do? "Let's pray. Let's give it to God." My spiritual mother is like that. Before I even finish the sentence, she's already got her head bowed. At first I thought, I'm never going to even finish telling her what's wrong, because we will have stopped and prayed so much. And when she doesn't know what to say, she'll say, "Let's just pray and see what God says to us." This person has so much trust in the Lord. Don't we need people in our lives like that? Their Bible prayer partner would be Nehemiah. Now, Nehemiah is another Old Testament figure. Remember, Daniel was taken to Babylon. Nehemiah somehow ended up over there as well. But he really wanted to go back and to start to rebuild the ruins in Israel. And this is what he says in chapter 1, verse 11. "Give your servant success today by granting him favor in the presence of this man." And he's talking about the king there. He's strengthened by his full surrender and request to God. He's not going to worry about the situation. He's immediately going to take it to the Lord. And he says in chapter 2, "Send me to the city in Judah where my ancestors are buried so that I can rebuild it." He trusts that God's going to help him. That was an enormous job. I mean, to build the walls of a city. The walls weren't built overnight. It took a lot of years to get it to the place where it was before it was destroyed. But Nehemiah had that trust. And that's a prayer strength. And it comes more naturally to some than others. Some of us, when we pray for God's will, we kind of pray like, "God, I want your will. And I pray that it would be this. But kind of, sort of, maybe, if whatever. Amen." Because it's really hard for us to have that kind of trust. But we want people who have that prayer strength to be around us. Those are the people I want to go to when I need prayer. someone who's going to maybe even have more faith than I have. When I was in seminary, I remember a young man came up to me and he said, "My mom is sick. Would you pray?" I didn't really know him. I said, "Sure, I'll pray, but I'm curious, why did you ask me?" And this is what he said, "Because I know you're Assemblies of God. And I know that you guys believe in the Holy Spirit, and my mom is really sick. Let's stop and pray," right then and there. Now, compassion is another prayer strength. This would go along with "they need help." The person who has compassion as a prayer strength, your natural bent is to consider others. You are a natural problem solver. You're loyal to your friends. You're sensitive to the needs of others, even those you don't know. Your prayer posture is to look for those in need and then present their needs to God. You're an intercessor for people and for the nations. You don't even have to know all the details of what's going on, but your heart is for the well-being and the salvation of others. Now, the Bible prayer partner, a good example of this is the Good Samaritan in Luke chapter 10, verses 30 to 37. When the Samaritan came along and saw the beaten and robbed man, the Bible says the Samaritan felt compassion for him, and that Greek word means he was moved. He was actually moved from his gut. That's how much he felt compassion. These people, I mean, these are the kind of people, even when they read the newspaper, sometimes their heart burns in prayer for those people around the world. They don't even know them. These are the people who are still interceding for Ukraine. These are the people who are up early in the morning interceding for Israel. They're interceding for the nations and for the salvation of people because they have that kind of compassion. The last prayer bent that we're going to talk about tonight is gratitude. These are the people who fulfill the thank you part of the pocket prayer. Your natural bent is to thank God. You're content with all that God has provided, and you live in the present and are thankful for all that you have. You easily express appreciation to God and to others. These are the people who are constantly thanking other people. They're looking for things that and ways that they can honor others by thanking and appreciating them. They give thanks to God for all things. Well, the Bible prayer partner for this would definitely be Paul. In all the letters that Paul wrote, almost every single letter starts with something like this. This was the letter to the Philippians. "I thank God every time I remember you. In all my prayers for all of you, I always pray with joy." He says to the Colossians, "We always thank God, the Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, when we pray for you, because we have heard of your faith in Christ Jesus and of the love you have for God's people." Even when he was writing the Corinthians and he had to straighten out all kinds of mess, and he had to speak some hard words, he still starts off with, "And I thank God for you. Every time I think about you, I thank God for you." These are the people who have that kind of bent. They always begin their prayers with thanksgiving. Even when they're carrying a burden for something, they begin by thanking God. So I want you to take out your sheet of paper. Hopefully you've got something to write with. Does anybody not have a sheet of paper? I'm sorry if you're at home, I can't help you. There's usually one by a telephone in the junk drawer. I often write on the back of a bill. We're going to go through, there are 11 questions. I'm going to read them. I don't want you to think about it too much. I just want you to quickly write down the letter of the one that applies to you. Okay? Number one, you're having difficulty falling asleep after a long day because A, you are energized by all that happened that day and you see God in it. B, you're thinking of the next day's challenges and giving them to God. See, you're thinking about the difficulties a friend or a family member is facing. Or D, a person did something kind and out of the ordinary for you. Just quickly write down that letter. Question two. If you were part of a group organizing an event, you would be quick to A, affirm the strengths of others on the team, B, ask for assistance from outside sources, C, offer to help others complete their assignments, D, show appreciation to other volunteers for their service. Notice none of these have all of the above. Number three. You're unable to celebrate a holiday with family, so you, A, list all the ways you can celebrate on your own, B, talk with a friend about how difficult the situation is, C, invite others without family nearby to celebrate with you, or D, change things up and celebrate creatively. Question four. Before you put your feet on the floor in the morning, you think about A, how incredible God is, B, the many things you need to deal with that day, C, friends facing trials or crisis in their health, finances, or relationships, D, the promise of a new day and God's fresh mercies. Number five, when your employer has a great year and gives everyone in the company an unexpected bonus, you, A, congratulate other employees on doing a great job, B, think about how this comes at a perfect time for your plans or situation, C, share your windfall with someone you know who is in need, D, immediately send a note of appreciation to your boss. Now remember, you might do more than one of these, but what would you do first? Six, your preferred part of church life tends to be when, A, you learn more about what God is like or sing about who he is, B, you cast your cares on God and your spiritual needs are met, C, you get to plan how to put your faith into action by serving, D, you respond to God's presence in an offering, a prayer, or a sacrament. Seven, after you reach a major goal or accomplishment in life, your next move is to A, recognize, perhaps even publicly, those who played a role in it, B, plan your next major goal, considering barriers you can now overcome more easily, C, find ways to use the accomplishment to help others. D, write thank you notes identifying specific ways people helped you. Number eight. When sensing God's presence at a key moment in life, you, A, praise God for showing up in the moment and you tell others about it. B, plead with God to be with you in an upcoming challenge. C, think about how you might help others experience God's presence in the same way. D, thank God for his faithfulness to you in the past. Number nine. If a school teacher is concerned about your child's progress, you would most likely, A, mention your child's strengths and how they might be used to overcome the area of concern. B, ask for resources or support to help solve the problem. C, look for hands-on opportunities to get involved in those solutions. In other words, you might volunteer in the classroom. D, thank the teacher and affirm his or her approach to the situation. You notice on this one, there's no E. Blow up and say, how dare you say that about my kid? Number 10, if your best friend is moving far away for a better job, the first thing you're likely to do is A, encourage your friend about the great opportunity he or she has for more confidence. B, consider how you will overcome the loneliness that will probably occur. C, offer to help pack. D, remember that your friendship has withstood other trials and will continue long distance. And the last one. If you were to tell friends you're moving into a new home, you would mention A, all the great help others gave to find the place. B, a few ways your friends could lend a hand. C, how much you're looking forward to inviting neighbors over. Or D, details about the home and how glad you are to have it. Now, count up all your letters. How many A's did you get? How many B's? How many C's? And how many D's? If you selected mostly A's, your prayer strength is worship. If you've selected mostly B's, your prayer strength is trust. If you've selected mostly C's, your prayer strength is compassion. If you've selected mostly D's, your prayer strength is gratitude. So let me just ask, how many A's do we have in the house tonight? How many B's do we have? How many C's do we have? Good. How many D's? Awesome. You know, we need each other. And when we talk about corporate prayer, which is what we do every Wednesday night, we need all kinds of people praying. Some of you are going to pray scripture tonight. Some of you are going to pray prayers of thanksgiving. Some of you are going to intercede. Some of you are going to just worship with your prayer. Some of you are going to stand in faith about something because you have got such a strong measure of trust and of faith. I think the important thing to realize is that I don't have to be like my neighbor. I can be who God made me to be. You know, I can't remember. Usually, I cannot remember all the words to all the worship songs that we sing here. But I am so good at making up my own. And I love worship music, and I play it in the background while I'm grading very softly. For my work at Regent, I sing in the shower, I sing while I'm driving. I have to be careful because if I get really, really into my song, sometimes my foot goes down, you know, keeps that beat. That's just not good. So I've made it a spiritual discipline to drive in the slow lane when I'm really worshiping. But I really want you to understand tonight, as we're here, that we're all different. And the way one person prays doesn't have to be the way you pray. And you can be free in how God calls you to serve Him and to love Him. Some of you serve God so beautifully through acts of service. And through serving, you're compassionate. You want to pull off the side of the road and minister to that homeless person and not just give them a pat on the back, but take them to McDonald's or whatever is close by. Because that's your heart. For others, that wouldn't even be something that you think about. It doesn't mean that you're not living a life of the Spirit. It means that you need to be what God called you to be and pray and worship and walk in your life the way God made you. And we're different. It would break my heart to feel that anybody would ever leave a time of corporate prayer thinking, I'm so inadequate. I could never pray like Pastor Ben. I just can't. And God says, no, you can't. Because that's the way I created him. I want you to pray the way I've created you. But Lord, what if I sound like a child? I'm sure God says, yes. I love those prayers. I love those simple prayers of faith. That's what I'm looking for. And I love the eloquent prayers. I love any prayer that comes from the heart. And a prayer that comes from the heart is going to be authentically you. A prayer that comes from my head is probably going to be a prayer that sounds like something I've heard before. God wants heart prayers. And as we've talked about the pocket prayer and also incorporated the Lord's Prayer into this, we know the example that God has given us. And we know from Scripture the amount and the variety of prayer that's there. So we can begin to feel free. God, I'm just going to pray from my heart. And if I stumble over words, and if I forget a word, or I can't get somebody's name wrong, you know my heart, but I'm going to connect with you. See, when we pray, I'm not trying to connect with you. You can't do anything about my problem. But God can, and I want to connect with him. And the best way to do that is to be authentic. The last slide tonight is something really simple to remember, and that's pray. P, personalize your prayer. Examine your heart. Allow God to be the mirror that you look in. Not anyone else, not any situation, but allow him to be that mirror. And R, reflect. There's no learning without reflection. You know what reflection does? It takes what we take in our brain and brings it into our heart. Reflection is often what God uses for transformation. I don't want to be a bobblehead. You know, if you ever seen a bobblehead, the head is huge. I want my heart, right? I want my heart to be as big as my head or bigger. Because I want the Holy Spirit to take what God wants me to know and to bring it into my heart and make it a part of who I am. And then A, abide. Prayer brings us close to God. There's no abiding in God without prayer. And lastly, yield. We want to surrender to the will of God. We want to place ourselves in the potter's hand so he can make us what he wants us to be. And every time I go to prayer, think about this. Every time you go to prayer, are you going with that attitude of, God, I'm yielding? If I need a course direction. I love my Apple Maps. Redirecting, make a U-turn, turn around. My son used to change the voices so that it was different every time. Used to scare me as I'm driving along. But I want to give God that same place in my life to say, make a U-turn. You're veering off. You made a right. You should have made a left. Let's get back on course. That's what yielding does. So as I pray, I personalize it. I open my heart up to the Lord. I reflect, I abide in him, and then I yield. Heavenly Father, we thank you tonight. Lord, we thank you. We praise you. We worship you for the gift of prayer. Lord, you could have easily said, I'm sorry, I don't want to talk to you. You're only human. I'm God. I don't know what. We have got nothing in common. But instead, what you do is you said, I'm going to send Jesus, and he's going to learn everything about being human, and he's going to know your fears, and he's going to know your worries and your concerns and your anxieties, and I want you to bring them all to me because I want to hear them. I, the God of the universe, want to know what you have to say, what you think, what you feel. Lord, help us tonight to see that as a valued gift and to see that you've made each of us different. Each of us has a different bent, a different way that we come to prayer. And you love us all. And you love them all because you gave them to us. So, Father, tonight we will worship you. We will trust you. We will ask you to stretch our capacity for compassion, and we will end in gratitude, thanking you for all that you have done and all that you are going to do. In Jesus' name, amen. Thank you for joining with us online, and thank you for being here tonight. God bless you.